Hello, and welcome to the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative to record America's family history in sound. Oral histories are one of the most personal and rewarding ways to preserve family stories. The Tell Me a Story sessions are 45-minute interviews between two people with the assistance of a trained facilitator. Participants will receive a compact disc with the full interview. A copy will be archived at the Midwest Genealogy Center and, with permission, later made available to the public. And now, another story.
Three.
My name is Jim Nunley, and I have the pleasure of introducing and to some and presenting to others about the Monday Night Football Group. This is a group that's been in existence ever since Monday Night Football began on ABC TV some 42 or 43 years ago. The group has always come together every Monday night during the football season and supposedly watch football together. However, there are many opportunities for deviations from watching football and many distractions. But it is those distractions which we will talk about today, and they have all been good, and they have formed one of the greatest friendships and football clubs that the Kansas City Chiefs will ever know. And we're going to start our third interview today, and we're talking to Lloyd Greenfield. Lloyd, hello.
Hello.
And Lloyd, you are from Kansas City, right?
Yeah, actually I was born in Liberty, but I was in Kansas City about 11 hours after I was born, so I'm from Kansas City.
So you're from Kansas City. Liberty?
Liberty, Missouri.
How many years ago?
77 years ago.
77 years ago. And just for the record, I mean, like, what caused your family to go to, quote, the big city?
Job opportunities. I'm almost certain of that. But when I was in Liberty, like I said, we moved back to Liberty for maybe 2 years after I was born. 2 or 3 years, my father worked at William Jewell.
Okay.
And then that stopped, and he just came to Kansas City, and that's where we moved, and it was in janitor service. I don't know if you know what that is, but that's where we were in janitor service for a period of time until he got a stable job.
Okay.
And
all right, so you went to public school here.
Yes, I did.
And what schools were they?
Well, I went to Wendell Phillips, I went to Attucks, and R.T. Coles, of course, and Lincoln High School.
Okay, what year are we talking about?
I went to my kindergarten was at Wendell Phillips and Attucks, and then I went to R.T. Coles in 48, which was a trade school, and I went to Lincoln High School in physics and graduated in 52 from Lincoln High School.
Right, and we're talking about 1952.
Yes, 1952.
All right, and strange as well, what was life like in the 40s and 50s in Kansas City?
To me, it was beautiful.
Okay.
Because I was engulfed with the things that I liked. I loved music, I loved theater, I loved people, and I lived in an area where all of that existed, and I worked in an area where it was. I worked on 18th Street when I was a kid growing up, worked at Matt Law's clothing store, which was very popular in those days, and blanking ship distributors. And I was exposed to all of this. I got to meet a lot of musicians, a lot of entertainers. And like I said, I like music, and it was there, and a lot of people. And I always liked it. That was a great time in life for me.
Is this when Kansas City for African Americans was booming?
It was booming for African Americans due to the fact that we were confined to a certain area. And as a result of that, we had our own businesses.
Okay. All right, Lloyd, what kind of work have you done?
Well,
you said you were a musician, or you like music.
I wish I were a musician.
Okay.
I love music. But I've done a lot of different things, actually. When I was growing up, worked wherever I could. Like I said, I worked at Matt Law's clothing store, Schick's clothing store, blanking ship distributors. I shined shoes. I did whatever required to make a nickel. And when I got my first real major job was at the post office. I went to the post office in 1954, which was my 20th birthday.
Mm.
I stayed there for 6 years, and I went to the Kansas City Fire Department in 1960, and I was there for 33 years. And that time period, the time I was at the fire department. I also worked for the Federal Record Center, and I was there for 28 years.
So tell me about being a firefighter.
One of the greatest experiences I've ever had
in
my life.
Did it really take courage?
I think over a period of time, you develop a courage. I don't think it requires any to get in there, but in order to stay, I think it requires some courage.
What was the biggest fire you ever participated
in? Oh, God. I think the Coat House was one of the biggest fires.
Coat House?
Yes.
Is that a hotel?
It was, yes. Okay. But at the particular time, it was defunct. Mm-hmm. It was down, I can't even remember, it was on what the Coat House, I can't remember where it was. Downtown, of course, but it was a very, very fancy place close to Petticoat Lane. And
how big was it?
Well, it was a pretty big place. It was huge.
All right. And it burned down when?
Yeah.
When?
I'm saying about 70, I want to say around 79.
79. So 89. What made it big as far as your participation in it?
The kind of fire it was. We lost about 3 people at that fire.
As the firemen?
As firemen, yes. Okay. We about 3 people, but how they died. If, for instance, one body was sustained in the window like this, where they attempted to jump out, and it was such a cold, cold day. Actually froze that way, you know, in that period of time. It was eerie, but it was. I'd say one of the biggest fires I've had. I've had a lot bigger in circumference as much as a fire. But one of those memorable I did because of the way people died. Then at 40th and McGee.
Wait, let me get
I'm
back
sorry.
There. Did you, in that fire, was your life threatened?
No, not at all.
What part did you play in the fire?
Well, I was a driver at the time. I still was, actually. Mm-hmm. And I was the FAO, fire motor operator, and delivering water is basically your job, getting to the fire and delivering water to the firefighters.
Right.
That was your job, and the hookups, the connections, things of that sort.
Right. Was that a good job?
To me, it was. I loved it.
Okay.
Yes.
Was it a good job as far as economy goes?
I could have made more money at different places, possibly, but it was substantial in as much as if you didn't mess it up, you were going to be there. You worked 24 hours and you're 48, so that allowed you time to do other things.
And that's why you got a job at the Record Center.
Absolutely.
All right, let's move on from your work. How did you get associated with Monday Night Football? I know, but I want you to tell me.
Okay.
Tell me how these people just railroaded you in.
Well, Carl Clark and Isaac Gardner, we're classmates. We graduated at the same time.
And I can go along with Carl. I wouldn't mention the other.
Oh, you wouldn't mention that. Mm-hmm. And we graduated at the same time, and I hadn't just one day. When I went to see, where did I go?
Canton,
Ohio.
Okay.
The second time, and I went with you guys, and they asked me to join, and I was delighted to do so.
Okay. Now, did they ask you to join, or did they just tell you to come over?
No, they asked me.
Okay. I want to know this because I need facts here.
Yeah, they asked me to join.
And the reason this is important for Lloyd, because Lloyd was one of the later people to join the Monday Night Football, and after he had been to Canton, Ohio, to visit the National Museum, or the National Hall of Fame of the National Football League, these two guys, Ike and Carl, just railroaded him into the group. They didn't ask nobody. They just told him to come. So, but that, I can see that from Ike. I was a little surprised that Carl.
Well, if you really want to know the whole story.
I do. It needs to be on the record, okay?
Ike said to me, "All right, we've been in existence some 20 years. Now we need some class."
So you were the class.
And they say, "You're going to join." I said, "Huh? You heard me. You're going to join." It was Carl Clark who did that, and I backed him up.
Okay. Very good. We're talking to Lloyd Greenfield here, and we've kind of got a good glimpse of Lloyd's life prior to Monday Night Football, and now we're kind of beginning to get into it. What does Monday Night Football mean to you?
I think in lieu of football, more than football, the people that I know and met here and the different things that they did for their livelihood or their occupations or they just for hobbies, it's interesting things and things that I wouldn't have learned anyplace else because I wouldn't have been in that mixture of people. Okay. But for instance, your position and Paul is an educator and Carl is a machinist, me as a firefighter, and Eddie West is a manager. And it's just the conglomerate of people doing different things, and you get to talk about them and talk to them about it, and you learn from them. Eddie is, for instance, computers, you know, and cameras and things of that nature. I haven't figured out much I learned from Paul yet, but I'll work on it.
Geography, 6902.
But I just think, you know, like you said, football is there, our major reason for being there, and we do enjoy it, but we enjoy learning and understanding and doing other things as well.
All right. Will the NFL trip to Canton be your most memorable, or will it tell me something else that will stand out in your memory?
Well, it's pretty hard to do, because the NFL, I went twice with them, and it was very... I'll always remember. Yes, sir.
All right. Tell me about who you think gets the most ribbing in art in Monday Night Football.
Can I tell you who the ribber is also?
No.
Well, I got to go say Ike, and I got to say Paul. Okay. And deservedly so, I would imagine. Okay. But
and what? Why do they need to be ribbed?
One
by one. Come on.
What's the big word that you used the other day?
Curmudgeon.
I delight in being a curmudgeon, too, whatever you call it.
He is a true curmudgeon, isn't he? I mean, I've been looking in the dictionary for 25 years trying to find the right word to describe it, and that's it. He's quarrelsome. He's ill-tempered. I mean, he never anything good about the Chiefs.
But the beautiful thing is, he don't mean it.
Very good. All right, but anyway, you mentioned who gives most of the ribbon. Who does give most of it?
A guy named Jim Nunley.
And why do you think that is?
I often wonder, why is it Jim?
No, but I mean, why do you name it?
I think anytime a man can walk in a room and he's there maybe 2 minutes, and he started telling you a story that never existed, and he could carry it on for 20 minutes.
About somebody he doesn't like. All right, what would your family say? What's your family make up, and what would they say about Monday Night Football? You've prepared some of the best fish. I always like to come to your house because of the fish. I love the sliced tomatoes that your folks make, you know.
Well, you know how it is.
Always the fried fish. I love.
You know how it is. I stay up all night preparing these meals.
I stay up all night. Okay, I got that.
No, my wife does. My wife does, and my wife truly enjoyed. She really does. Right. And if she's learned a little bit about football, she don't care. My wife was a basketball player, and that's what she liked, and she loved volleyball. As far as football, it doesn't mean much to her. But we used to go to the games. In fact, I had season tickets for years of the games, and my wife probably was the only person in the world who would go to the game and carry a book. And then when she wasn't reading, she was asleep. I said, baby, hey, that's Gord.
All right, what would you remember, or what would you do to keep Monday Night Football in your memory?
That's no hard job. It's probably harder to describe it than it is to do it. And I think it's just what I just said, meeting a mega of people, different people that know different things and learning from them. Paul brought me out here today because I have a sinus condition and I didn't want to drive. And he brought me out here with him. You know, things of that nature. You can ask of them and they give of you. And that's, to me, a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. And the amount of time that has been involved in being a Monday Night Footballer is well worth it. It's worthwhile. And one more thing I like to say, I like for the young men today to have that kind of camaraderie they don't have it, and that is needed. It is truly needed, you know. And for instance, Ike. I was in a kindergarten with Ike and Carl. I've known them a long time, you know.
You don't have to cry, Lloyd.
I'm not going to cry. But I just think, you know, to have that kind of relationship over all of these years and knowing that you can fall back or depend on somebody, man, that's a God-given. That's a God-given.
It is something to behold. And while I rib, it's probably the only opportunity I have in a day's time to actually have fun.
Yeah.
And Paul and I spend a lot of time, you know, and I think Paul knows me well enough that I mean absolutely no harm. I just wanted to say that for the record. Any final thing you want to say here before this recording ends?
Yes.
All right.
Number one, I thank God for football. I thank God for the Monday Nighters. As I said before, it has its place, and it's a well-deserved place. And I'm very thankful for it. I'm glad I was invited in, glad I accepted the invitation, and I hope it continues for many, many a year.
Enough said. Thank you, Lord.
Okay.
That's been a pleasure.
Get you a medal of
honor. Yeah.